Hello and welcome to this exclusive segment with Andrew Frost. We're going to jump right into it. We're just going to ask him a quick question, or I'm going to ask him a quick question. I don't know why I always speak in like I'm two people, it's just me. So really quick, I mean, you talked about being obsessed with magic. It's kind of in the name. How does that apply? Like, how do you practice?
So I've kind of done a lot of my own research, and then also like within I did teaching for a while. So within that, I actually studied how to practice and how to do practice efficiently. Mm-hmm. And basically it boils down to like a number of different things that some are within your control and some are not. But number one is that practice should be enjoyable. And if you're finding it boring, you just won't improve as fast. So there has to be something that you enjoy about it, or there has to be an end goal that you're getting better at. So you can do something like unpleasant for only a certain amount of time. And if you don't feel yourself kind of like picking them up and being disciplined about it, then it's probably because you don't enjoy it. So don't beat yourself up about it. So that's number one. It's like it had kind of, and if you can find ways to make practice fun and like turning things into games and things like that, then do that instead. Or the best way to do it is if you've got a trick that you want to perform, you know, do the trick over and over and over again, kind of practicing that as a way to practice like sleight of hand or whatever it is that you need to do to get to the end result. There are two like main things that I was taught when I was growing up, one from a basketball coach and one from my saxophone teacher. So my basketball coach was really, really good at knowing when you had switched off, when you were running on autopilot, and then he would make you run laps or run suicides if he felt like you had switched off. So, you know, you'd be shooting and he would make a real point of saying, you're not thinking about it. You're not trying to improve anymore. Like, just stop, run a suicide and then come back. And every shot you take, you should want to improve at. And that's a really, really amazing mentality to have. So rather than just kind of like allowing muscle memory to do the work, every time you do something, you should be trying to improve it. And that's so true when it comes to like sleight of hand and things like that as well. And you know, any concept, yeah, got any concept in magic, and also the ability to catch yourself when you are just running on autopilot is also a really good skill to have. So if you can tell, like when you're just sitting in front of the TV and you're not actively engaged, if you're sitting there just fiddling with a deck of cards, that's all you're doing. You're not practicing. And if you sit down for like 10 minutes and have like a like actually concentrated, like I'm going to get better at this move, like 10 minutes, that will serve you so much better than sitting in front of the TV for 4 hours doing exactly the same thing over and over. And then my saxophone teacher was all about like basically slow and controlled and then build up your speed. So everything was like, you know, do it slowly, do it in a controlled fashion and then speed up. And I think a lot of people, when they first learn a sleight or when they first start practicing something, do everything at like 100% or 110% speed. And then, you know, they get to the end of it and, you know, it's done in something that seems both uncontrolled and you know, unrefined. And so if you refine it and you're able to control it first and then start speeding it up, it's so much easier and so much better.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's something that Danny told me like straight away with like practicing. He's like, just do this, like do like JW, but do it like super slow. So like you feel like every part of it. Yeah, that's an interesting tip. And all of it is really good. I really like that idea of just like, if you're sitting there fiddling, like that is all you're doing. And that everything that you do should actually be actively trying to get better. That's I've never heard that before. I think that's really, really good advice.
But also, like, don't beat yourself up about sitting in front of the TV and fiddling.
Yeah, because it's fun.
Because it's fun, you know? It's fun. It's just fun to do. But also don't think that you're improving by doing it.
Like, right, get down when you're not improving, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I guess the last thing is much more of like a logistics thing. But just film yourself all the time and film yourself doing the action and then the simulated action. So if you're doing a pass, actually put the card into the deck and square it up, and then do your pass, and then, you know, you've got reference for both the move that you're trying to replicate and the move that you're doing. And cameras are so good now on your phone that you can literally pause it, and with the scroll bar at the bottom, you can go into minute detail over every aspect of the move. And you can just analyze to your heart's content until the point at which you go, okay, that's the breakthrough I need. Okay, well, when I'm second dealing, the one that had the best retention of vision, I did this certain thing on. And now I know that because I did four or five different second deals and managed to figure it out. And then just constantly adjust everything until you figure out what's best.
It's funny because I sometimes it blows my mind how bad my routine is when I just perform it for my wife. I actually start to do it and I'm like, wait, I have such bad habits. Like, I'm flashing here. Like, I'm holding the coins in the way I like my patter isn't there. It's interesting because I remember there was this one thing that like Danny D'Ortiz said that was kind of in one of his live lectures, like, oh, like, I don't use mirrors. He's like, I perform for people. And I don't know if I agree with that 100%, but I think it is interesting as well, just like the difference between taking it out and performing it for somebody, for a real person. You suddenly, it really highlights what you need to improve on pretty fast.
The other thing that I think is really underutilized is don't show magic to your significant other, because they are the most honest person and you will need them when you finally have it run in. Because people are too nice to you if you're out and about on the street. But they might not necessarily be nice when you leave, but to your face, they'll definitely say you're doing a good job if they're at all polite.
Right.
You have the ability to go up to your significant other and go, can I show you a trick?
Right.
Okay. Is it entertaining? You know, were there bits that you didn't understand? Did you at all have any idea how it worked? And they will give you an honest response. I didn't really like it. You know, didn't really make sense to me. Or yeah, I saw you. I saw the card go into your hand, or like whatever it is. You know, and actually, you know, that's not my thing. That was like Stephen Long's again says that about. He says that all the time. Like, don't you know, show magic to your significant other. Try and have them be the, you know, the last person you show almost.
Yeah, like that. Once it's like ironed out,
yeah,
so you get that real reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, then they're seeing the best stuff and they'll respect you more.
Yeah, they won't get sick of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, perfect. I think that's definitely enough. So I appreciate that answer.
Awesome. No problem.
Okay. Thank you.